Now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Mad Time Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Skid Row Studios and Mad Time Radio. I'm Rich. We got Crail here and Jaime.
Yes, sir.
From downtown Los Angeles, and we are live. You can call the show at 1-800-893-9562. Crail, who do we have in studio today?
Or they can listen live on www.skidrowstudios.com.
Well, if they're not doing it now.
Yeah, okay. Just to know, man, when they download it. Got that humming going on.
Uh-oh.
All right, hey, listen, let's get into it. We got legend, at least I think legend in the house.
We got, we're a little starstruck. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, yeah. We got Goker Shavishian's in the house. Is that all right, Goker? Did I say that right?
You say what?
But okay. No problem. All right, let me get my clap, Goker. Hold on for a second.
We got our studio.
Somewhere here. Maybe not.
Okay, they're always a little late. Sometimes they never show, but okay. All right. They're off today.
All right, yeah. We'll clap.
We'll clap.
All right. And Goker's also got a couple of his Australian guys, right?
Yep.
Okay, we got Robert in the house. Say hi, Robert.
Hi, guys.
And then we also got Ara.
What's up, guys?
All right, cool. All right, Rich, what you got, man?
All right, well, first of all, we want to thank you for coming in on Sunday. And we're really excited to have you in studio. Tell us a little bit about, your gym currently and the gentleman that you have with you today.
Thanks to have you guys here. Sunday is a good time for me because the other days I'm very busy. So actually Sundays is my free day. The gym, it's my new gym. It's 3 years, approximately 3 years what I opened it. I bought the building. It's 13,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And we have a bait on there, the big mat area, approximately 5,000 square feet mat area. We got a octagon, it's UFC size. And we have a professional boxing ring. We got all the gym completely. So it has a balconies and everything. So it's very much beautiful professional gym too. You train there. Gi classes, which is we do in judo, jiu-jitsu, sambo. And also we have a grappling classes where we do grappling complete fully. And we do MMA, boxing, kickboxing, and all kind of stuff like that. So the gym, it's very much a professional place, you know.
Right. Well, starting with your roots, I know everyone that knows you're a judo legend. Tell us about your start in the sport and where it's taken you so far. Because now we already know where you are. You're in MMA. Your school is developed. Tell us a little bit about how you started.
Well, I started when I was 5 years old. Basically, I started wrestling. And the people see me outside just playing with another kids and fighting with the older than me and everything. So they decide this kids can be something and just take me to the gym. So basically that's what started wrestling. And years pass. I started doing sambo because the gym I was training wrestling, they also train sambo after the wrestling finish. So I would like to join that too.
And was this here in the States, or where did you start or grow up?
I'm from Armenia, in the former Soviet Union, mm-hmm. and we are part of Russia. And but now we are a very much independent country. Armenia is Armenia now. Yep. At the time when I was training, so it's a part of the Soviet Union. So
sambo must have been pretty big. Was that the big sport to learn back then?
It's always in Russia or former Soviet Union. The sambo was the one of the best things there because they got a combat sambo, which is all the military people training, and the police training, everything. And they also has a sports sambo, which is like a judo and jiu-jitsu and like a wrestling, a mix-up. A lot of leg locks in there and stuff like that. So it's pretty much very, very good art. It's a Russian art. The sambo, like most of the people knows, is the meaning is the first letter of the Russia, is just meaning it's a fighting without a weapon.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so you did that for how many years did you do that for?
I did the whole my life, you know, just since I fight, I start five wrestling and approximately 3-4 years later, I started to sambo with the wrestling same time. My sambo was incredible good. And then judo come to Armenia. At that time, we don't have no judo. So most of the good sambo players, because we use gi, so they ask us to, we should start doing judo. And then we, as soon as I start judo, right away, I just went to Russia. Then I come to the Russian national champion. The Russia was doing the judo basically over 15 years. Then Armenia just doing a judo maybe a couple months. So they choose the sambo guys, and I was the number one guy, so I went to Russia. So that's what my life started when I was a young kid, you know. Then basically on that, I also trained boxing too. So started doing sambo, wrestling, boxing, everything. So when I get a little older, I quit the wrestling because it's too many sports. And also, I continue sambo and judo and the boxing until I come to America. But the meantime, I went too many championships, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I guess it looks like you had a lot of junior national championships in both sambo and judo, right?
Yeah, everything I done, it was a junior because I was a young kid. But I went to the world and I went to Europe and I went to Soviet national championship. Too many time Armenian national. So it's just too many things I did when I was young. And to come to America, it's in 1981, the beginning of the
stuff. How'd you come out here? You said 81.
I come here year before. It was the World Cup of judo here. On was in an Olympic training center in Colorado. So I represent Soviet Union. So I took first place in my weight division. So everybody was telling me how good I am. If I'm in America, I will become a millionaire. Nobody understand the judo. There is no money in there. But anyway, so the next year, America, they told me I will, if I be here, I will be able to teach the national team. So they give me a paper. So paper helped me to just quickly, legally come here with my family.
So you started teaching? Is that what you started doing?
Well, I started a little bit, but my language that time, and I never speak English. So we need a translator, Russian language. But with a short time, I get bored over there. There's nobody. There's only you eat, train, and that's it. So I just decided to come to Los Angeles and stay with my parents.
Wait, that's what you have these guys doing, Robert and Ara doing,
no,
right?
No, these guys have life here, you know.
They not eat and train?
They eat and train, but they have, beside that, they have a lot of other life, so.
I like that he leaves out, you know, another thing, you know, he's like, oh, well, he doesn't say sleep.
No,
you
sleep,
know,
huh?
Eat and train.
Well, sleeping too, but, you know, they have a lot of friends and they go out, they go do this, and then you imagine in Colorado spring, cold, nobody's there. There's nothing there.
The beer company.
Sleep, eat, sleep, and training. Yeah. That's it. So it was good, but it was not for me at that moment. And then anyway, so to move to Los Angeles, and I was trying to find a job, and then I find a job, end up fighting job, and we put money, and the winner took the money and stuff like that. So that was interesting for me. And there's no MMA. Nobody knows what is MMA at that time. Everybody thinking it's like, I don't know, that time is that no holds bar.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what we end up doing. We're making money out of it. Actually, it helped me a lot. I make a lot of money. And even I can able to buy a house. So, and then all this MMA, all the grapplings and everything start coming up. Little by little, which is I was talking about like over 10 years ago about everybody. But that time, what was the famous that time? Everybody was just telling karate guys, hey, karate is good. Taekwondo guy says Taekwondo is good. Judo guy says Judo is good. And everybody just trying to tell what kind of sport they do and that that's the best one. But anyway,
you're already doing MMA all your life.
So. I was doing, the people don't really understand that until I have to beat them up too. They can understand that, you know. So, but you cannot beat all the world. So little by little, the world is believe it right now. What I was talking about many, many years ago, the people don't know anything about the MMA. So I'm glad today we have a lot of professional fighters. It goes the right way. UFC changed life of a lot of people. They brought a lot of things, a lot of other tournaments. It's going great. I wish I was a young kid, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you see some of these guys are like 17, 18, and, you know, they've been training for 5 years. They just absorb everything now.
Yeah.
I know the only thing I absorb is pain.
You know, it's, believe me, if a lot of people up there listening to this radio, they say, well, we don't like MMA, we don't like this. But if you look at that, when you train, if they come to like 1 week, 2 weeks to see people training, they're going to say, you know what? These people do this every day. So there's no problem to go in the octagon and fight, you know? Because they train that every day. And it's like you eating chicken soup. You know, if you like the chicken soup, then you eat, and then you go to the tournament for eating chicken soup. It's the same thing. You know, you do the same thing every day. When you go fight, you do the same thing what you do every day. You know, it's no big deal. Yes, sometimes they get hurt, but who doesn't hurt? You know, if the basketball players hurt, boxing players, actually, boxing is more dangerous sport than MMA. If you're looking at how many boxing guys have died, but the MMA, so far what I hear, one or two.
Or that's even it. Football. Football, broken balls,
yeah,
concussions.
Look at the football, exactly.
All the time. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And so I know that's a big jump, but from there, how did you make your way to the Olympics, and how did that whole...
I couldn't make Olympic. I was Olympian, but 1980, when I was in Armenia, and I come in the Soviet national champion in the adults team, and I was a kind of young kid, but I was very strong. I can beat the adults number one guy. But then we got the trial, so there's a Toshi Khabareli, and he's the Olympic champion, and also he's a European champion, the world champion. Him and me, well, we come up to the final on the trial. So in the trial, he actually get one more point on top of me. And I was a young kid. He was 10 years older than me that time. If I was 16 and he was 26, and he also has a lot of experience and everything. So they decide to take him in the Olympic, and he end up gold, actually, that 1980. So I lost my Olympic that time. Then when I come to America, my goal was back and forth, train and compete all the tournaments, and if I can make it. But so finally I make it 1984 Olympic, and then Soviet Union Poi Cup. Then the Los Angeles didn't come. So then they left me out. So, and then, you know, at the meantime, of course, I'm doing all this shooto in Japan, doing making money here and left and right, you know, even though it was not very popular at that time. But then I was the goal to get an Olympic also. In 1987, I went to Spain and I fight judo. I did the World Cup, and I win the first place. And the United States said, wow, we got a good guy here. Let's give him a citizenship quick as possible. So they did that, so they put me on Olympic team for the United States. But the dream didn't come true, my dream didn't come true, because it was very late and I don't have enough points of tournament to make it. So basically, in the points, it take me out of it. So then I said, well, hell with judo. So let's stay with the things are no rules things, you know, like more like I was doing MMA already. So then I start teach people. I was doing grappling already. I meet a lot of jiu-jitsu people. Then we train together years and years and years. And, you know, we just teach each other, help each other and stuff like that. So then, you know, come up with the, open the school and start to do this and do that. And, but I tried to do also the UFC too, but, the first when the UFC started and everybody kind of don't want me to enter because there's no reasons there I don't want to talk about. And then the future, they start, the 90% of the UFC fighters, they come and start training with me. And I couldn't go fight there because they have to teach the people I teach, you know.
Yeah.
I have to fight with the people I teach.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I know it's not talked about a lot, but training to be on the Olympic team is a lot. It's a lot of work, right? I mean, just to even to be an alternate or to get on the Olympic trials.
Yes.
What do you do for work when you're training? Because, I mean...
You see, in United States, it's kind of a little different. But in Armenia back there, they pay you every month.
Okay.
So they pay your living, you know, over there. And then they say, you know what, you got your living money in your pocket now. All you have to do is start training. If you don't train, the money is not coming to you. So that's kind of a little pushing you to train. It's like
a job.
When you go to your job, not too many people really like to get up in the morning and go work, yes? But the reason why you going, because they're paying you.
Right.
So they're paying you and you got the money and then you do what you want to do with the money, but you don't like to go every day work. So it's the same thing. And some athletes are, they love to, that what they're doing. Like me, I don't care about money. I will go anyway. I would train 2-3 classes a day over there. Come out one class and goes jump in another. But some people are, they have talent, but they're lazy, so they don't want to compete or they don't want to train hard. But because they get money, so they want to push themselves and they become Olympic champions. Because they have that talent, only they're lazy, but the money make them train.
Was it the same there when you came to the U.S. or was the U.S. a little different?
No, U.S. it's very different. Here is the government doesn't really support you, doesn't help you really. And that situation, but in my situation being when I come to America, I was not citizen. So I cannot compete the national championship. And here too, I can show what I can do. So I was end up competing in U.S. Open and different type of things, so go outside the U.S. and everything, stuff like that. But inside the USA, with the compete the national championship or whatever, it's there's no way you let you do it if you're not a U.S. citizen. So that's what I'm talking about. It takes years and years until they give me the citizenship. So, but it was too late. I couldn't make the Olympic, and I just kind of sick and tired of following and not making money and everything. So, because I get a little bit spoiled because I was fighting like Shuto, and each time I fight and go to Japan and come back and just basically like I make $5,000-$10,000, and fighting Shuto is a lot easier than fighting judo because judo is not an easy sport, you know. As some people, if they've never done before, if you compete with judo when another judo world class, it's not that easy. But when you go to Shuto or MMA, you know, if your grappling is good, then you have your tactic and you do your grappling, use your grappling, somebody not your class, you beat the guy easier than you beat the judo world class guy. So it's completely different. You're talking about Olympic sport. Olympic sport has never been easy, you know. Doesn't matter. I don't care how big MMA is and how big kickboxing or Thai boxing or anything. When you're talking about Olympic sport, you're talking about real sport, real different. Look at this. Everybody just throw a tournament they call the world championship. What kind of world championship is that? You know?
That's true.
Well, I know one thing. So it's Olympic sport. When they say world championship, this is the world championship we know and we respect. Other world championship is not respectable. I can tell you honestly, I holding a sixth title of the world championship, the MMA Shuto. What kind of world championship is that? You know, I just say I did it, but I'd never talk to people and say, hey, I'm a world champion, I'm this and that. for me, those kind of things are kind of little, but the business things. And, you know, you beat one guy and you become a world champion. And beat another guy, you become a world champion. For me, it's a world championship. It's really all the countries are competing. They're choosing the best one, comes the number one. That's what then. UFC kind of already doing that because now you see all the world is coming there. So it's great. I'm happy with seeing that. But most other places, you see a couple other people are fighting, especially the regular tournament, the people throwing their own school, they call it a world championship. Then you look in the kid that's 10 years old, he's confused, and he's talking to another world championship guy, and he said, I'm a world champion too. You know, the comparable with the somebody just give all his life and his blood to become a world champion. The kid's only 6 months training and said, I'm a world champion too. So it hurts sometime. The real world champion said, man, if I know that easy, then I will do this, what they did. I did 40 years of training, 30 years of training to become a world champion. And sometimes some people never come even close to.
Yeah, I think that's why sometimes when someone says they're an Olympian, you know that they put in a lot of work. Because I actually used to wrestle with a guy named Monday Agobar. He's an 88 Olympia. He was on the Olympics for Nigeria.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people say, oh, he's an Olympian, like you look at the guy like, wow. I mean, that's a true warrior there, right? Because you go through those Olympic trials and you try to get on the team. And
yeah, you know, like the one thing I really like MMA, and I have to tell you the reason why you like it, I like it, of the other Olympic sports. If you are like Olympic sport, if you are like a great Olympian, good. Like you see one of my student, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She's an Olympic medalist. But not every judo players I can come and fight in MMA. You know, to fight the MMA, you have to have a lot different type of heart, you know? And like you see, like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, not every Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters can come and fight MMA either. True is true, you know? And you see, the people are coming from wrestling. Some people say, oh, if you wrestler, then you should do MMA. The wrestlers are doing good. No, not every wrestler's doing any good. So I love all the sport. I respect all the sport. Doing MMA, you really have to have a heart, and you really cannot be lazy. You have to be really, really looking yourself and training hard and cross-training. And also you have to have an ear to listen. So when somebody tells you something, then right, you trust the person.
And by cross-training, you mean cross-training other sports or cross-training with other people, other schools?
The different sports, like what it's important for you for MMA. You know, I will not going to say different sports are not using in MMA, but whatever is important for you for MMA. But you have to have a trusted person to listen to him. If you don't trust person and you don't listen, then it's a very difficult for you to go forward. You must have someone. Doesn't matter how good you are, you know.
So this was about, you say, late 80s or so when you wanted to concentrate more and when the school, what was the point when you opened the school? Was that also late 80s or when did you?
No, first school I opened up, when I come to America, I meet Gene LaBelle, and Gene was a big, strong man, and he got a lot of students and a lot of fighters and stuff like that. They're more like a catch fighters. And he's also been a judo guy, but he's also a wrestler guy. And I meet him, so he helped me a lot, and he put me on a lot of fights, and he put me in my corner and everything. But when it comes up, the question you have, I'm sorry, I just forgot what you say.
So you were just wondering at what point you started when you opened your first school.
First school, yeah, that's what 1986. I was collecting people from outside. All these guys are beating up each other, And I just hate to see them beating each other up. Then I collect them one by one and put them on a LACC college that has a school, that has a gym over there. And I give them a glove. So I said, beat each other as much as possible you want. So and stuff like, I start collecting the 40 guys, but I was not charging any penny on this. My attention to make change these people's life, you know, because they're not really going the right way. And the martial art is not a to go and beat somebody outside or just walk like you, the tough guy or anything like that. For me, the most important for me, the martial art, you have to understand how to respect to each other, respect your friends, respect the elders and stuff like that. This is what I learned when I was a kid, that I didn't like it when I see the people are beating each other up. So I volunteered to teach them free, and even I can take them out of the street, you know, and I did. So this is what my started. And then I was fighting at the same time, but I couldn't really catch up with them. Sometimes I miss classes, and then sometimes I come back and everything. But and then I quit teaching until the 1991 origin. Officially, I opened my own school, you know.
That was Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, yes.
Is that right before, I guess, it's probably right before the UFC started coming out with fighters? You started training people then?
Yeah, when the UFC started coming, I was, like I say, I was applied to go, but they don't want me to go. And they said they want to basically, the Gracies are, they open up and they just really want to, the Gracie name comes up very big. And then they tell me I can enter maybe in the next 4, 5, 6, whatever. But then until then, as everybody know, I've fight before, and everybody who won't know who I am and everything. My gym start filling up all these fighters, and the karate fighters, kickboxers, wrestlers, and all kind of guys are competing there. So everybody starts come sign up and then tell each other, and then in less than 2-3 months, I have like approximately 20 guys are fighting UFC, then all in my place. So, you know, and then I say, okay, great. So now it's time to make some money on that. But I help a lot of people. I can, you know, just a lot of people come and rent houses next to my dojo, and a lot of legends are today. I just don't want to mention their names. Maybe they will not going to be happy because they don't mention my name. They did so in case I don't want to have that up there. But right. Some people, if they get more deeper and interested a little bit more, then they will find out who they are.
So I know fight fans, you know, definitely know a few of the big names that come out of your gym.
A lot of legends and a lot of big names that train with me long times, years.
Mm-hmm. So I know you can physically prepare, you know, you can physically prepare a fighter to fight, but how do you deal with the mental aspect of preparing someone to fight?
You know, simply, I talk to a lot of my students most of the time, and I don't want to tell them that you are the toughest guy, you're going to beat the guy, because I don't want to take wrong impression and then look the opponents like they're nobody, and then they get surprised, you know? So I tell them, you have a tough student, but looks like you're tougher than him. You know, it's everybody goes differently. You know, I have students, they don't even need to talk to him. They just walk in, like Caro Parisian. And he never feel any pressure. Every time, he was a kid and he started fighting, like was 14 years old, and in America doesn't allow him to fight here. We should take him to Mexico and he fight there. And this kid is 14 years old fighting with 20, 22 years old guys. And he was winning. So like Caro doesn't need to talk and he doesn't feel that pressure. But I have a lot of other students that feel pressure. So I have to talk to them a lot of time. And some of them, my students, they have so much pressure, they don't even want to fight. And they are so, so good, you know. And I talk to them differently, but everybody have different type of mentality. You know, it's just, if I talk about what I talk to this guy, what I talk to that, will take a long time. So,
Yeah, but is it hard? Is it hard to convince somebody who doesn't mentally want to do it to fight?
It's very hard. Because they're not your son and they're not anybody. You cannot push them, you know. Like I have a student. His name is Karan Darabedian. I don't know if you guys hear this guy's name. He's a WEC. He compete and he beat the champion. First time he walk in WEC and he beat the champion. If you search his name on the computer and Google, whatever, YouTube, you will see his fight. But this guy is one of the best technical guy in my school. If he really has the heart as Caro, and he will be the world champion today for sure, you know, in his weight division, 155. But I don't want to say he's scared, but something is wrong with the guy. A lot of time he got a fight, but he doesn't want to go. And last minute he wants to quit. We don't understand. So somebody like that, I cannot push it, you know. If it's my son or something, I maybe can. But even my son, I can't push it. I can push myself. It's very hard to push the person don't feel 100% to go, you know. Especially in my school, we have a lot of fighters. But I don't push. They come and tell me, say, Kokura, I got a fight. You're going to be corner me. I say, you're going to be here because I am a lot in our town. Also out of town, I give a lot of seminar in all over the world. And most of the time, I don't have no time. Sometimes I do movies and I don't have no time. But most of the time, I'm trying to catch time for my student to be in the corner, you know. So I don't know what really I can tell you about that.
Okay. I was just curious because I know you've probably seen a bunch of people come through your door and you can probably say like, oh, this guy's ready, this guy's not ready. And
oh, no. To be ready, I can see it in one shot. When he start one day training with me, I can tell he's ready to go or not. You know, that's part of this MMA and martial art is my occupation. If you have your occupation, you understand how to build this and how to fix this. So this is part of me and doing 43, 44 years. So I know right away the people, they're ready or not ready. But if you tell them you're ready, sometimes they don't want to go. Sometimes you say you're not ready, they really want to go, you know? So you don't know what to do, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, definitely the mental aspect is a big thing. Just even recently, you know, came up. And some guys even break down. Remember in boxing, you know, Lennox Lewis against Oliver McCall, where he had a breakdown in the ring, started crying in the middle of a fight, and they actually stopped the fight because the guy started crying.
Yeah, you know, when I teach most of my students, I say you either do 100% or don't do nothing, because if you're gonna start 50% and then 50% drop to 40, drop through 30, and then you middle of the fight, you think, what I'm doing here, and don't ever fight. You know, what you have to do, if you start the 50%, then every time the passing of your fight, you have to go 60, you have to go 70, you have to not under, you have to go up. So your performance is going to get better, not down. So that's what you know you're ready or not. If your performance get better and better, then you're ready to go and you're going to be good. If your performance get down, then you know you get scared. You have no, you cannot breathe anymore. There's no gas left for you and things. You're not ready for sure, you know.
And I know we were also talking earlier how you do a lot of seminars in Europe and Canada and everything. And I know, you got Ara and Robert in here from, maybe you can tell us a little bit how you got these guys are from Australia, right?
Ara and Robert are from Australia. They're sitting right now next to me. And maybe they can just a little bit tell them who they are and everything. And Ara come here for like 2-3 weeks with his father and train with us. And when he go back to Australia, he perform very good. And they like it. They decide to come to stay a little longer with us. So they here come for 8 months. My school, we have rooms for people stay. So I give them one room for both of them, and They're already here 4.5 months, and there's still another 3.5 months left to go. But they're here to serious training, and they're doing the serious training right now. If you want to talk to them, you can ask them the questions, either of them. And
yeah, well, starting with you, are how is training down there? How is the MMA scene?
Well, MMA theme, it's growing there now, you know. It's not as popular as over here, which is why we came here. Mm-hmm. Also, but it's growing, you know.
And how did you get your start? Were you just a fight fan, or did you grow up wrestling and
doing something? Because you don't get that cauliflower, you're not doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, I originally started wrestling just to get fit, and then Rob started to train at our gym. And he was doing jiu-jitsu, and I was kind of getting into that and into MMA. And he gave me the address. I rocked up to the gym, started training, and just loved it, and just picked it up from there. Started competing, got more serious.
How about you, Robert? How'd you get started?
Me? I got started by looking for it on the internet. Like, I guess most people do these days. Just, I saw some clips on YouTube that my friend showed me. I got into it, started searching for a gym, found a gym close to my house, and yeah, just started from there.
And how'd you guys end up picking, how'd you guys end up finding Goker?
Through his dad.
Well, I always wanted to train in America, and me and my dad were just searching on YouTube different videos, and we just came across Goker and just really loved his style. So my dad called him up, and he was really welcome to us, and I came down in July last year for 3 weeks, went back to Australia, performed really well, won national titles, and Ken decided to come back for 8 months and brought Rob with me.
Awesome. Excellent. I do got to say, when you call Goker's gym and he answers the phone, I mean, you're super nice to everybody, Goker.
You know, my father's always says, you know, you... There's this world is you born once and you die once. You know, if you die, at least people don't say the bad things about you when you go, you know. So we're trying to be nice to the nice people, but I'm not that much nice to people who are not nice to me. So I'm nice to the people nice to me, and I'm not nice to people who are not nice to me. So I think we always like that. We don't like if somebody's not nice to you. When they call me and everybody else, so they're talking very nice, and you can see how present they are, and you know, of course, you always welcome them. I welcome a lot of people. I let the people watch when I teach, and I have no secret from anybody. The people gonna steal my secret. There is no such things, you know. Let them people learn, and that's what we teach in this martial art today. If I did things in my life, years and years, why not to give someone? And if I give 10,000 people, 1 million people, out of that, if 100 people come good, and I'm getting older, and I have to leave this someone and someone to someone. So that's why when I'm decide to choose the nice people, teach nice people, let the people watch. There's no secret for us. And that's our school mentality. A lot of people think, so I said, we went to Goku school, I said, oh, be careful. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do this and that. There's no such things. The people get hurt in my school, definitely when they have attitude. They walk with the attitude, I beat them myself, you know. So that's the way it is. But if they come with the friends, as a friend and good attitude, then they're like part of the family, you know. This is true.
Yeah, we heard the same thing too from a friend of the show, Steve from Fight Me Clothing. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of good things to say about you too in training at your academy also, and stopping in to visit.
Thank you so much. The people, you know, the people be in my school and they know what I'm talking about, you know. They tell me, a lot of things they told them, hey, don't go to Goker school. Then they do a lot of leg locks. They're going to hurt your leg. It looks like you go in somebody's school. They say, oh, don't go there. They're doing a lot of arm bar. They're going to hurt your arm. It's not a really good reason to not to go, because that's why they come in to learn that leg lock. or the armbar or whatever it is, and or how to escape, how to defend, how to do this and that. Of course, we're gonna do leg lock, but we are not hurt you long as you're dumb, stupid. If you get and feel the pain and you don't want to tap and you have a lot of ego, then definitely you get hurt. You know, of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But if you tap and say, and then we're not going to force it to, no, you're tapping, but we're still going to hurt your leg. There's no such things, you know. My guys are very friendly and they respect people and very open heart. When you walk to my school and you see all the professional fighters there and also the beginners, you don't know which one the professional fighters and which one the beginners until the training start. So that humble they are, you know, they're not walking like a robots, you know, you see to these days that people don't have nothing, but they walk in the street like they're going to kill someone, you know, such a thing. So, you know, the real athlete, they never do that, you know, and, you know, the only people don't have nothing to show people, they have to do that. Or like a teachers are, they bend their arms and watching their student and never fight. What kind of teacher is that? You know, doesn't matter how old I am. I'm fighting with my students every day. They actually put me in a good shape. Why not? I teach them. Now the time to they keep me in the shape, you know.
So you still do a lot of training these days?
Yes. I fought. I go to seminars like in Europe. I got 13 seminars, and each seminar I at least fight 5 or 10 people on the end of seminar. And then when I sit in the plane and I'm start calculating, man, I say over 100 people I fought on this small trip. Yeah. You know, I do all the time. I do my students. I grapple with everybody. I'm having fun. This is part of my lunch or part of my dinner. Like it's, I have to do it. If I don't do it, I feel sick, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way. If I don't train, I feel like, yeah, you feel weird.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and
I'm gonna go to your school and maybe learn some leg locks.
Well, you know, I tell you something, you always welcome, buddy. And but a lot of people say leg lock. That's true. We got the very, very specialized leg lock, but people thinking we only do leg locks. You will not gonna believe it if you see what else we do there in arm bars and chokes and other things that you never see in your life.
Well, it's okay. Leg locks work.
Leg locks works. You know, everything else works.
Ask, you know, Paul Harris.
You know? You guys are welcome. This is have to be true. You come and you see what I'm talking about, you know.
And from that 40, how many students now?
Approximately 300 students I have here in this Los Angeles, this school. But, of course, I have 43 schools in Europe and also 27 in the United States. They affiliate schools are with me, and my students are teaching. So in Europe, approximately 43 years altogether, approximately we have a little bit over 5,000 students over there.
Wow.
So it's pretty much, it's growing. I put the grappling in Europe. I can also say I started grappling in the United States too. I'm one of the developed guys. The grappling comes up in here. And, you know, I'm the proud that it's a good sport. It's very, very talented sport. I hope that someday they will put it on the Olympic. So that will be the greatest thing if they can do this, if they put it on Olympic.
That's what we're all hoping. I personally was hoping for the Olympics to come to Rio so they can bring jiu-jitsu to the Olympics, and that was real.
See, I like every sport.
Didn't come through.
Yeah, I like every sport. I don't hate nothing of the sport, because a lot of people come and tell me, said, listen, I do karate. You know, and then they said, I was in this school, and they said, karate is a stupid sport, and don't train that. It's for kids. I will never say that, be honest with you. Not only karate, a lot of other sports. This is what I tell people. I say, I like 7 sports, and myself, and depends what you're going to do. If you're training karate, you're going to go to karate championships. This is what you have to train. If you training karate, but you have to go to a judo tournament, then you are in the wrong sport. But if you want to do MMA, then you have to do everything. You know, you have to choose what's your style, so you are stronger. If you're a striker, then for me, I choose for MMA, It's a striking arts. It's a kickboxing, Thai boxing, and boxing. And the grappling arts side, and I choose wrestling, judo, sambo, and jiu-jitsu. Of course, it's combination, it's the grappling. This is what I respect for MMA. But I don't say other sports are bad.
Right. Well, when people mention, you know, judo and MMA, there's not very many names that pop up, you know, and it's Ronda Rousey, it comes up, and Carl, you know, was that something that you guys worked for a long time to try to adapt judo to MMA?
I did already myself like in '80s a lot. So when my students, they started with judo, jiu-jitsu, sambo, we don't call like a judo. We call it gi, open gi classes. So which is because we do a couple different things together, mix up. So Manvel, Gamburian, Caro Parisian, Karen Darabedian, Ronda Rousey, and all the, you know, the people are up there. Most of my students, they're in UFC, like Sarkis Chibichian or Sevak Makakian, all these guys have been Roman Metichian. So all these guys have been UFC home, UFC fighting, UFC and everything. But most of my students, I started them from scratch. You know, I just started build them one by one. I never really done go and grab someone already know what he's doing and tough and this and tough and that. And then the Kasir is my student and he's a world champion. No, everything is built up one by one.
I know we're getting pretty close to round up the hour, but I wanted to make sure we talked about, obviously, Gokhr.com is where they can find all the information, and you got seminars and I really wanted to talk about this tournament you have coming up, because the format's a little different from normal tournaments.
Yes, the tournaments, we do it everywhere in the United States, approximately 13 states, and also in Europe, a 6th country. And now the Los Angeles is number 6 is coming, and it will be the May 6th of 2012. Then also following, there has more other two of them. It's in this year. But the May 6th is going to be interesting because we're going to have a lot of people are coming from different type of school, a lot of jiu-jitsu schools, a lot of wrestling school, military, LAPD, and all kind of things interested. Because we have a unique style and everybody loves it, and there's no argument on our tournament ever because the system is working fantastic. It's a lot of things to explain about the rules, but if you go visit gokhr.com, www.gokhr.com, and the rules, everything is there. And also the tournament information is there. And also beside the tournament, the people are interesting to come. Just come visit us. First day, it's free to train with us and everything. So basically to understand what we're doing and everything. See if you like guys there, the training, the way they training and everything. So I just like to invite everybody, basically, and come and try, see all these things I'm talking about, if it's true or not, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the things we were talking about, what your tournament was, the way your rounds are broken up, it's... I know you got a lot of different rules, but the way the rounds are broken up is kind of interesting because it's, is it a 5-minute round?
A 3-minute round, the first round, it's no submission, it's no points, it's only submissions. And the people have to tap to come out, otherwise they will go until end. They finish, the second round start with the point. The point is basically, it's going to be a neutral and advantage. So the neutral, when you got the neutral, then you go advantage. You get the point for that. And if you lose your advantage point as your advantage, and then you go back to neutral, then you lose a point. So when you are advantage to advantage to advantage to advantage, you don't get no points for that. Sweeps are points. Take down 1 point, sweep 1 point. All the points, the mouth position, side control, or the taking back and everything like that. So you get 1 point, but only one time off when you go from the neutral to advantage. Then after that, you can continue doing it, but you don't get no points and you have to go to submission. So, and then if you end up even points, Then now it's
after
good
how many
luck.
Minute? After how many minutes?
After 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
And then if your points are same, then now you come third round comes up for you. Is no time limit, and no ground game in the first person butt touch in the floor and is out.
Oh, okay. Okay, excellent.
So the reason why this is good because it makes happy all the wrestlers and happy all the judo and sambo guys because they're very good stand up. Not very happy with the jiu-jitsu people, but not some jiu-jitsu people don't like stand-up. But the jiu-jitsu people, they have the chances in the first round and the second round. The first round and the ground, they can finish the submission or stand-up. Or the second round, they can take the possession points or whatever the submission. But if they couldn't finish those two rounds, then they have a problem in the third round. But it's same thing for the wrestlers, or they got submit, and some wrestlers are they're not good submission guys, but they good takedowns and get points and stuff. But we just very much calculate everything. The points are comes together very, very smooth. And I'm telling you up there, the people are listening to this, should come and see and participate. We have a beginners completely, and we have a beginners, the kind of a little bit training almost a year, and intermediate, and also the advanced. And this time that we got a big belt of giving the champion. The most of the time we give, but this time, if it's everything goes good, then we offer the money to the and a belt on the same time too. So I think whatever we do this, whatever country in Europe or wherever in the United States, very, very successful. They will call Hayastan Grappling Challenge.
And they can register for that on the website?
They can register a website if they go to gocourt.com and go to schedule, whatever. They go there and then event and tournament, so they can schedule right away there. Or they can always call. That's 877-700-4656. It's very easy. 877-700-4656. So basically that's the number. If you forgot the number, go to gocourt.com. The number's there and address there. Everything is there. The most of every information.
That sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like at least in that first round is going to definitely eliminate the stalling.
Yeah, there is the no. If they stall it and the referee will stop them and put them stand up back. If there's somebody holding somebody and want to slip over there, the referee will tell, move, and I'll give you a few more seconds. If you don't move, we're going to stop. So if they still not move, then they will stop the match and start standing again.
It's no gi, right?
It's both.
Oh, both, gi and no gi.
Yeah, we have a gi and no gi. It's the same rules.
And this is all in one day? The tournament's one day?
Yes, it's all in one day. We hope in the last tournament we have a little bit over 100 people competing. But in the East Coast, we have 200-300 people are competing. In Europe, in Germany, we have 500 people are competing the last time. In Bulgaria, we have approximately 400-some people. In Russia, also 300-some people. See, I started first in Europe, and then I brought to United States and the cities, and now new, I brought it to Los Angeles. So it's funny. Actually, I was supposed to start here, then go from here, but I did backward, you know. But it's getting bigger, and I hope if the people really come and compete, they will see what I'm talking about.
How much is it to register?
The register is, if they're $65, and if they register now and online, then we'll get 10% discount. If they competed before, they get 20% discount.
Oh, wow. So it's pretty reasonable, right?
Very reasonable. Yeah. Trying to make sure everybody can afford it.
We're going to sign Rich up today.
All right. Okay. I haven't competed in a while.
Yeah. Your then tournament. You'll be my partner. So.
Absolute weight class, right?
Yeah. Absolute. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm a 200 pounds, so I don't know. But these two guys are sitting next to me. So Rob and Ara, they're going to compete too. And a lot of my other students are going to compete, and a lot of my affiliate schools are coming all over. So even you guys are have a free time. It's Sunday. You can welcome to come watch and see what I'm talking about.
Or compete.
You can compete. Why not? Believe me. You're going to have fun.
Well, Kyle here just competed yesterday, and he took a gold at
the Copa
Pacifica.
Last tournament a couple months ago, we competed, and there's one very good wrestler. And he was unbelievable good, and he beat everybody. He beat two of my good students. Not the professional ones, but the good students. They're not bad guys. And one of my guys, I say, the Karen Darabidian, he decided not to compete. But he see this guy so good. He said, Gokor, can you put me in? I want to compete. I say, you know, it's illegal to do that. Because the middle of the fight. He said, yeah, but it's you, the director. Come on, put me in. I say, I have to talk to them first. They have to take a permission. So I talk to the guy. I just trying to be fair, you know. I say, we have a good guy, want to compete with you. You want to do it? He said, yeah, bring over anybody. It's so good. So Karen goes there and start competing. Karen picked this guy up. He's an Olympic wrestler. He was competing in Olympic or something. I right now I don't know. I don't remember his name. But not this Olympics, but a couple years ago. Anyway, so Karen picked this guy up, hit him in the floor. I say, Olympic wrestler. It's in the air. It takes seven, eight seconds to finish him in a leg lock right away. And then they also compete second time. This time was less than 7 seconds. Well, we surprised how good Karen is, you know. But this guy is unbelievable stronger. And I know those guys that he beat, they are not bad, though they're very good too, you know. So it's fun. It's fun, really. And it's very fair. Everything we does there, and you know, we don't look, this is my guy, this is your guy, there's no such things. And you know, the good things is all the referees are coming from different cities. They are not doing anything with me or anybody. It's organization, Hayastan Grappling Challenge, that we have organization. The one referee come from New York, another one North Carolina, another one from here. So they're just from outside. And they don't know nothing too much of those, that. So the reason why we did that, so we want to be very much fair, you know.
Excellent.
All right. One thing I want to ask for your tournament, because I'm an older guy.
Yes.
Do you guys also have age brackets? I'm like 45. And
yes, we have over 40 people.
Okay.
And you know what? People like over 40, we're not really putting like 10 guys together. You know what we do? We put in you and one and another. That's it. Three guys.
In wheelchairs. Just kidding, dude.
And if three people there, just basically you fight three of you together. And then another three goes to separate. And then another three goes separate. And we're trying to match up as the weights as much as possible and stuff like that. You know.
How much are tickets for spectators?
$10.
$10.
Okay. And the kids are $5. You know.
Oh, okay.
All awesome. Right, so everyone, and we have a lot of space to sit in.
Yes. If anyone, you know, if you're not competing, at least come by, you know, and check it out.
Yes, check it out. You will see whatever I say here and right now, and see if I'm telling you true. It's 100% true, and this is the important part. And I know it's my tournament. I have to talk nice about it, but believe me, the people are competed. They already know this is what I'm talking about. This is it, you know.
It'd be very, if at least to, not to compete, but at least to check it out under that type of rule set, I think it'd be very interesting to watch. I'm very curious to see
how
that.
Believe me, so far we're doing many years, over 12 years, we never have one tournament that we have an argument.
Over Paul, okay.
Over things, because the rules are so simple, there is no argument at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, man, our system's going to cut us off here in a few seconds.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check out gokart.com. Make sure you check out our friends at Fight Me Clothing also. And